Well, I know it's not Thanksgiving yet, but happy Thanksgiving, everyone. And I'm so glad you can be here this week as we celebrate Thanksgiving today. But then, like what we've said, through this week would be a week of thankfulness. My name is Luke Rosenberger, and I'm really glad we can worship together today. And I just wanted to share, when I was about 10 years old, we came home from some kind of evening activity, and when we got home, there was something not right. We noticed there were some things in our house that were missing. And as you can imagine, me and my siblings, and really parents too, there was some fear. There was, we were scared. We didn't know if there was a robber currently in the house. We didn't know what was happening, but we quickly got out of the house and were kind of near the edge of the property somewhere while my parents called the police and had it all checked out and did a police report. There were some things that were stolen, just little things like, you know, or I guess not little, but, you know, computer and stereo and VCR, things like that. Not our TV. It wasn't big enough for someone to steal, I guess. But I remember, like, even in my parents' room, there was, like, all their stuff was, like, all over the place because someone was looking for money and jewelry, and they were just looking for all kinds of things. And for the next definitely few days, I had a lot of anxiety. I had a lot of fear going in the house, especially that night as we went to bed, because someone had been in our house. Someone that was unwelcomed had been there, and they were not there in a way that was welcoming or kind. They were there to rob us. And I don't know how many of you have experienced a robbery of some way, but it's not good. It's not fun. It's terrible. And it can leave a lot of fear and anxiety. That anxiety is something that even though it's a real thing, it's something that can really rob you of your joy. Can rob you of a lot of things in your life, but especially of your joy. And I know for the next few weeks, for sure, we had a hard time of, like, being really joyful. But we're going to look at this today, this idea of anxiety, this idea of what happens when anxiety robs your joy. You know, anxiety is something that almost everybody in the United States and really around the world, most people deal with anxiety in some form. Anxiety is something that there's a lot of anxiety disorders, and I think it said in some different websites that about 1 in 5 adults in the United States deal with some kind of disorder due to anxiety. But not just, you know, not just the anxiety disorders that people are dealing with. We're dealing with anxiety a lot. You know, there's a lot of current events that we deal with anxiety about. You know, our family situations, you know, the economy, or, you know, violence. What career choices, what you're dealing with at work, you know, finances, relationships, family, school, you know, politics, government, all kinds of things that we feel anxious, that we deal with anxiety about. And anxiety is a real thing, and it's not something just to hide. It's not something that's like, oh, it doesn't actually happen. But anxiety is something that really steals your joy. And I think it's actually one of the biggest. You know, there's several things that can really steal your joy, a lot of things. You know, sorrow can really steal your joy, sadness, you know, shame. There's some other things that can be a joy robber, but I think anxiety is one of the bigger ones. And as we look at this idea of anxiety and the relationship between anxiety and joy, what's really interesting is this book of Philippians. And as this fall, we've been going through this book of Philippians, and we still have today and next week to go through to finish Philippians. So in chapter 4, Paul talks about this relationship between anxiety and joy. And so we're going to look at that. If you would turn to Philippians chapter 4, we're going to start in verse 6 today. And this whole book, this is a letter to the Philippian church. It's a letter to some Christians that Paul was writing in a tender way. He remembers them in his prayers. He's constantly thinking about them and wanting them to spread the good news of the gospel. He wants people to be joyful, be full of joy, just like he is. And so this is what it says in Philippians chapter 4. It says, do not be anxious about anything. And I'm just going to pause right there. Do not be anxious about anything. And you might say, like, well, how can I not be anxious about anything? Because there's a lot of anxiety. There's a lot of worry. There's a lot of things that are happening that seem like they're scary, that seem like there's a lot of things that we can be anxious about. But Paul says, do not be anxious about anything. And what I want to remind you is right before that, in verse 4, he said, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. And he says in verse 5, let your gentleness be evident to all. And he says these few words right here. He says, the Lord is near. And I feel like when I read that, usually it's just like, let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. But, you know, I just kind of keep going on. The Lord is near. How can we not be anxious? We cannot be anxious when we realize that the Lord is with us. When the Lord is near. When we have the Lord and we realize who he is in relationship, he wants to be in relationship with us. He's the God that loves, protects, that saves. He's the one that is, he didn't just come to die for us, but he came also to be in relationship with us. And when we see that he is, and when we realize that he is near, that's going to help us so much in our not being anxious about anything. Because that statement right there, do not be anxious about anything, seems almost impossible. And I will say, it probably is impossible without the Lord. Because our world has so much anxiety. Whether you're a believer or not, there's a lot of anxiety that we deal with. And Paul says in this verse here, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. So he has two commands right here in this verse. Don't be anxious and present your request to God. He wants people that are Christians to not be worried about things, to not be anxious. But when that kind of thing happens and we're worried about something and we're not sure, he says to be in prayer. And notice that Paul doesn't just say be in prayer. He says by prayer and petition. And you might think, well, wait a minute. Isn't prayer and asking in prayer the same thing? Kind of. But he uses two different words here. He uses to be in prayer, but then also to be in supplicating or asking or having a petition. So I think the idea here is it's not just that we're asking all the time in prayer, but prayer is a connection to our Father. Prayer is a connection that we don't necessarily ever say amen and we're done. We continue a connection through our Father because of Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And we have a prayer with him, in a relationship with him. And so Paul's saying, by every situation, by prayer and petition, present your request to God. No, you're missing a phrase there. With thanksgiving. By prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Now, often if I'm fearful or worried or having anxiety about something, it's hard for me to really think about what I'm thankful for. I might be able to say, okay, God, please take this. Please help me with my anxiety. Please help me. You know, I'm giving this to you. But in thanksgiving, that's a different story. Being thankful about it. Being thankful, maybe not about the anxiety, but with thanksgiving, present your request to God. You know, gratitude and anxiety can't have anything to do with each other. When you're anxious, even brain science tells us this. I mean, this is even outside the Bible. Like the scientists will tell you that if you're anxious, you can't be grateful. You can't be filled with anxiety and filled with gratitude at the same time. It's one or the other. Your brain has to process one of these two things, not both. And so if you are anxious, then what Paul is saying to do is take your anxiety and bring it to God with thanksgiving. He's like, turn your anxiety to God, turn it to Jesus, and be thankful. Have gratitude. And I know this week of Thanksgiving week is often a time that we think about when we're thankful, when we're grateful for things. But I want to encourage you not just to wait till Thursday. Don't just wait until Thursday when you're meeting with your family and friends, when you're celebrating Thanksgiving. But in your hearts, when are we thanking God? Just like what Kenny was saying a few minutes ago to the kids. How are we being thankful? How are we being grateful? And I know it's easy to think about that in the time of year of Thanksgiving. But having Thanksgiving is a 365-day holiday in our hearts. It shouldn't be a holiday. It's every day that we're being thankful, that we're having hearts of gratitude. And so anxiety cannot survive a grateful heart. Anxiety and gratitude can't coexist. And so as we think about this joy-robbing anxiety that tries to steal your joy, that tries to take away your joy, that wants you, the enemy wants you to not be joyful, to not be filled with the joy of Jesus, knowing that anxiety can't survive a grateful heart, that is huge, because we need to be grateful. Let's not just need to be grateful, but we can practice gratitude, and it's going to help our hearts not feel anxious. You know, sometimes you might think like, well, how can I be thankful in every situation? Because in 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 to 18, one of my favorite verses, Paul says, "Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." And he says, and don't quench the spirit. It's like this, these things right here, having a heart of gratitude, rejoicing and praying continually, and not just giving thanks when things are going well, but giving thanks always, having this heart of gratitude is really how you're going to deal with crush anxiety. There was a famous Bible scholar named Matthew Henry. He's written a lot of things. This was several hundred years ago. And he wrote in his journal one night after being robbed. He wrote this. He said, "Let me be thankful first because I was never robbed before. Second, because although they took my purse, they did not take my life. Third, let me be thankful that although they took my all, it was not much. And fourth, because it was I who was robbed and not I who robbed." I just think that's such a, that's just such a heart of gratitude, this man. He had this terrible situation happen, and he looked for ways to be thankful in that sorrow and in that hard time. I mean, that's so unnatural. That's so, nothing that people would ever do without the Lord, that we're thankful even in the hardest times. So let me ask you, what are you doing with your anxiety? When you have anxiety, how do you deal with it? Because often, how we deal with it is our go-to. It's usually not something that, let's work on this. But it's something that once we've set this motion in our life, our brain kind of goes back to it over and over. So what do you do with your anxiety? Because if your anxiety continues, if your anxiety festers, it only gets bigger and bigger, and it controls you. But the Lord wants you to free. He wants you to free you of that anxiety. He wants you to have a heart of gratitude. He wants you to be thankful. He wants you to not be overwhelmed by anxiety. Paul continues this right here in verse 7 by saying, after presenting your request to God, he says, "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." And he says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, or if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. You know, either one is true. Can you be anxious and have gratitude? Can you also be anxious and be in prayer? I think if you're anxious and you can be praying the anxiety away, but really what Paul says here is the peace of God. The peace of God will transcend your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. This peace isn't just a worldly peace. It's not just a peace that you can just get when someone's not fighting, but it's this peace that is so different than the world. And this peace guards your hearts, guards your minds in Christ Jesus. This is a great verse to memorize, because when we present our requests to God and know that we're giving our anxiety to Him, we're giving Him thanksgiving, and we're asking Him to give us a grateful heart. But then what happens is, because of prayer, because the peace that He gives, when we have peace, anxiety can't fester. Anxiety can't get bigger, because it's not our peace, it's the peace of God. And so anxiety cannot survive a peaceful mind. When your mind is full of peace, full of the peace of God, then there's no room in your mind for the anxiety. And so Paul says, think about the praiseworthy things. Don't fill your mind with junk. Don't fill your mind with the world. Fill your mind with things that are good to think about. Things that are true and noble and right and pure, lovely, admirable. Those excellent and praiseworthy things. Think about those things, because it's easy to think about all the other things. So how are you filling your mind? Are you filling your mind with these things that are from God, these lovely things? These things, and really this goes right along with thanksgiving, because it's what are we thankful for? What are the good that we see? What are the things that we maybe don't even realize that are that good, but when we start really focusing on gratitude and thanksgiving, we're going to start saying, oh, this is beautiful. This is lovely. This is right to think about these things. You know, just because you have a thought doesn't mean it's okay for that thought to enter, to stay in your mind. When we lived in Nicaragua several years ago, that we lived in a gated community, because there was a lot of robbing that would happen. And we lived in a community where there was a gate, and there was a guy at the door, at the gate. And when you drove up to the gate, it was Hector, the protector. It was his job to decide if he was going to let you in. Hector, the protector, had to know, are you supposed to be here? Because a lot of people would try to come, and for whatever reason, to do something that would be not okay. And you know, whether it was to rob or, you know, to sneak around or whatever, Hector the protector had to make a decision every time. And so we made sure we had the window a little bit rolled down and he could see our face. We smiled and he would let us in because he knew that we lived there. He knew that it was okay for us to come. Now, if we had some friends that were coming, often he would probably let the people in because by association he knew, you know, in Nicaragua, there are not a lot of white people. And so, you know, he knew that probably they were our friends. But he didn't always just let them in. They would have to call us and say, hey, can you let the guard know? And so the guard would then we'd say, hey, Hector. And we'd tell him, let him in. And he would let him in. Your brain is also wired to not just let everything in. You can decide what gets in or not. Just because it comes to you doesn't mean you have to let that thought in. There's a lot of thoughts that should not be in our brains. There's a lot of thoughts that are going to take away from a peaceful mind, and they're going to cause anxiety. They're going to cause fear. They're going to cause a lot of things that are not of the Lord. And so it's our job to be Hector the protector. It's our job to be at the gate and decide, is this a thought that's okay? Is this a thought that I'm going to let in? Is this a thought that's going to be, it's lovely, it's perfect, it's admirable, It's all these things. Is it good? Because if it's not, if it's only going to create anxiety, if it's only going to create fear, if it's only going to be robbing of you of your joy, don't let it in. You don't have to let it in. But I think often we forget that we have a Hector the Protector. You have a guard. And Jesus, he says he's going to guard your hearts and minds. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. When we are in the Lord, we have a protection. But often, we don't use it. Often, we just think, oh, whatever goes, I'm fine. I'll just deal with it. But he doesn't want you just to deal with it. He wants you to be protected. So what are you filling your mind with? Just because it wants access doesn't mean you have to get it. Don't let it in. Rely on the Holy Spirit. Rely on the Lord who will give you that wisdom to know whether or not you should let those thoughts in. Let's fill our minds with things that are lovely and pure. Paul continues right here in verse 9. He says, and whatever you learned, whatever you've received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice. So he says, if you've seen me do this, if you've heard me do this, if you've received or all these things about me, do these things. Earlier, Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. Are we looking to our leaders? Are we looking to others that are following after Jesus? Are we looking to the Bible? Are we using wisdom? Are we putting into practice what we've been learning and hearing and seeing that it's godly? And Paul says, in the peace of God, no, he doesn't. He says, the God of peace will be with you. He says, not just the peace of God, because the peace of God is a really good thing, that, you know, the peace of God transcends all understanding. It guards our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. But then he says, when we put this into practice, the God of peace will be with you. Just like earlier, how he said, the Lord is near. When the Lord is near, and we have that presence of the Lord, then we are much, much more likely to not be afraid, to not be worried, to then also be giving our requests and our prayers to God with thanksgiving. You know, the peace of God and the God of peace give you joy, and he fills you with joy. And so anxiety, it cannot survive a joy-filled life. Because when you have a joy-filled life, you are full of the love of Jesus. You are full of the joy of Jesus. You're full of the peace of Jesus and all the fruits of the Spirit. You are full of these things that God gives. And when God gives you these things, you want to share them with others. You want to serve. You want to bless. You want to be helpful. You want to do all these things to help people. And you, because you receive more and more joy when you do that. And so I've heard that serving and anxiety, they can't coexist. When you are trying to bless other people, when you're trying to serve others, you can't also be anxious at the same time. You know, the peace of God and will give you himself. God, the God of peace gives you peace, and he gives you this joy-filled life. In Romans 15:13, Paul says to the Romans, he says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with the hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. God wants you to be overflowing with joy and peace, but it comes as you trust in him, trusting in him by the power of the Holy Spirit. So what are you putting into practice? What kinds of things are you learning from the Word, from your Sunday school teacher, from people that you're looking up to? What have you seen? I mean, what did the Philippians hear from Paul? What did they see from Paul? What did they experience Paul? They saw that he had joy. and that he had a joy that was wanting just to give more and more goodness and overflowing to them. And so this God of peace is going to be with you. This God of peace is going to overflow you, overfill you. And so when we face anxiety, when you face anxiety, it's easy to just let the anxiety fester. But if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, Jesus followers, don't let your anxiety rob your joy. Don't let that anxiety steal your joy. Because that's what the devil wants. That's what the enemy wants. He wants you to be joyless. When he sees you're praising and worshiping Jesus, when he sees that you're excited and blessing others and being thankful, he wants you to be anxious. He wants you to not be joyful. Because when you're anxious and when you're lacking joy, what happens is you've minimized. You're very little what you can do for Jesus. When you are lacking joy, when you are crumbled, when you are in trouble like that, he has you right where he wants you. He doesn't want followers of Jesus to have joy. He wants followers of Jesus to have anxiety. He wants you to not bring your requests to Jesus. He wants you to not have thanksgiving. He wants you instead to be full of anxiety, full of sorrow, full of selfishness, because he doesn't want you to show people how wonderful Jesus is. You know, there was this song that said, "Don't worry, be happy." And it's just like this simple, you know, old song that is like, oh, it's just really simple. Just don't worry and be happy. Well, if it was only that simple, right? If it was only that simple, you could just choose to not be worried. But the way you can choose to not be anxious, to not be worried, is to give your request to God with thanksgiving. And then you are going to be a lot happier. You're going to be a lot more joyful because of Jesus. But without Jesus, this don't worry, be happy song is not really true. This don't worry, well, you can just kind of forget about your worries, and I think that's kind of what maybe the song is really about. Don't worry, just forget everything, just be happy. But when we choose to give our requests to God, when we choose to have thanksgiving, then this worry goes away. You know, this week, I want you to spend some time. I know a few of us have mentioned it. This week is Thanksgiving week, and it's a great time to think about, what are you grateful for? What are you thankful for? And there's actually a study that's shown that if you can spend 15 minutes a day in gratitude, so, you know, 5 minutes, three different times a day, if you can spend 15 minutes a day in gratitude, whether it's you're writing in a journal, you're driving in your car, whatever you want to do, but be focusing on what you are thankful for, how you have a grateful heart. Even if it's really hard, what the study showed is after 30 days of doing this for just 15 minutes a day, anxiety was gone in people. And even people that had experiencing lots of panic attacks and all kinds of really big anxiety things, the anxiety was gone because 15 minutes a day, they were focused on gratitude. 15 minutes a day. Because we take the focus off of ourself. What gratitude is it takes the focus off of what we think and what we're all about to then more and more about what we're thankful for and really about who God is and what he's doing. And you know, the biggest way we can be thankful, and I know Kenny said it this morning, the biggest way we can be thankful is that Jesus came. And Jesus came not just to show us how to live and to give us some teachings and tell us to do this and to not do this, but Jesus came so that you and I can be saved. Jesus came, he took the place of me. He took the place of you, where we had no chance to be saved without Jesus. We were destined for destruction. We needed rescue, and we cannot rescue ourselves. And the greatest thing we can be thankful for is what Jesus did on the cross. And that Jesus died for you. He died for me. And that by his death is the ransom. It's what we need to be saved. And because of what Jesus did on the cross, we have life. And life to the full. And we have this life that is in Christ. And this life that is in relationship with Jesus. Not the Jesus that is dead, but the Jesus that is alive, that is has arose and is victorious. And someday is coming back and we can be with him fully and forever. Now we are with him right now, but not in the same way. He gave us his spirit. He gives us his, we can be in prayer and petition. We can be with him, but not in the real sense that we're all together, like in the person. But someday, when he comes back, we're going to see Jesus. With all our eyes are going to see Jesus. And we're all going to worship him. And earlier in this book of Philippians, it says that every knee is going to bow. Every knee, not just the people that love Jesus, but every knee is going to bow and worship Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, because Jesus is Lord. So, are we thankful for Jesus? Are we thankful for the sacrifice of what he did? Are we thankful for the life that he gives? Are we thankful for the life that he promises us for all eternity? And when we start really thinking about that, and we start really dwelling on that, I don't know how we can be anxious. Because the joy of Jesus just fills us. And so I want to just encourage you this week to spend just 5 minutes, maybe try it 3 times a day if you want to really try it, but focus on 5 minutes a day where you just focus on gratitude. And it's super hard because it's easy for the first like minute. But once you get to the second and third minute, it's harder and harder. But it's really worth it. It's really good. We're going to sing here in a few minutes a song about not stealing. It's called Can't Steal My Joy. And some of the lyrics in this song say, what the world couldn't give, no, it can't take away. Because the world can't give you true joy. The world can't give you the joy of Jesus. It can give you some happiness and some temporary highs, but it can't give you what Jesus offers. And it says, sorrow may come, but it can't steal my joy. Because remember, when we have our eyes on Jesus, we are going to have the joy of Jesus. We're going to be not anxious. You know, Charles Spurgeon said, turn your care into prayer. So whenever you have a care, whenever you're concerned about something, turn it over to God and with thanksgiving. Turn your care into prayer. And so, can't steal my joy. And we can just sing this, how Jesus fills our cup and it fills it until it overflows. And it says that I remember, I keep holding on to hope, the hope of Jesus, because you're the king of Rolling Stones. You're the king, not of a band called Rolling Stones. You're the king of the stone that covered Jesus' dead body. And Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, rolled that stone away victorious. He is the King of Kings. He is the living King. And so nothing can steal our joy, but things try. So if we can not, it says we can't contain, it can't contain, nothing can quiet my praise. You know, prayer takes away this anxiety, but you know what also does it? Anxiety, we have thanksgiving, it doesn't work with joy. We have peace and prayer and joy, but also praise. When we are thankful and we are grateful and we are praying and we are praising, that is our best weapon against anxiety. So let's go to the Lord in prayer for that. Lord, we just thank you for your Son. We thank you that you offer your life, Lord, we thank you that you are the one that gives us peace and joy. And Lord, we thank you that you guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that you give us yourself and that you fill us with your peace and that you are near to us, Lord. We pray that we would be rejoicing. We pray that we would be not anxious, but that we would turn every prayer. We'd have in every situation, we'd be praying and grateful, presenting our request to you, Lord. Lord, we pray that whatever the world tries to do, they would not steal the joy that you give. And so, Lord, we just pray that this week of Thanksgiving, we would take time each day to really think about gratitude, to think about what we are thankful for, to think about your salvation that you offer. And Jesus, I pray if there's those here that don't experience your peace and your joy and your love, Lord, I pray that you would reveal yourself to them in a powerful way. And Jesus, we thank you that you are good, that you fill our cup, that you are all that we need, that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and that we will all worship you. We pray this in Jesus' powerful name. Amen.